If you could ask God for one thing, and only one thing, what would you ask God to do for you? Think about that. If you could ask God for one thing, and only one thing, and you can't say, because I know what some of you would say, you can't say that, you know, you're going to ask him for more wishes. You know, you can't do that. That's off the table. If you could ask him for one thing, and not more things, what would you ask him for? Some people have said, I'd ask God to help me win the lottery. Some say, you know, I would ask God to eliminate cellulite. Another person said they would ask for a lifetime gift card for Chick-fil-A. Christian chicken for the glory of God. That's what they would ask for. But more people were serious when asked, if you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask God to do for you? And a lot of people said, I would ask God to heal someone that I love that's sick. There were people that said, I would ask God to save a marriage that's very broken. There were people that would say, I would pray that God would bring someone that I love who's far from God into a relationship with God. A few people have said, I would ask God to help me overcome an addiction that, you know, I've been able to overcome. A few people say things like, I would ask God to deliver me from anxiety. Some, you know, would even thinking bigger than that, and would say things like asking God to end human trafficking, and, you know, someone, I would ask God to eliminate world hunger. It's an interesting question. If you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask God to do for you? And this question is very important because it reveals what you value most. Today we're going to look at King David from the Old Testament. And when we talk about King David, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read about him, he seems like bigger than life. I mean, he killed a giant. He wrote Psalms. He defeated nations. But I want to show you today that you actually have more in common with David than you might realize, especially when it comes to his decision making. Because just like you, he had really good intentions. But just like me, he didn't always make the best decisions. When you look at King David, you know he valued family. He valued relationships, but he decided many times to avoid conflict to his detriment. He wanted to please God with righteous living, but he gave in to different types of temptation, including compromising sexually. And when he did, what did he do? He decided to lie about it. He decided to cover his tracks. His unwise and unhealthy decisions ended up hurting his marriage. It ended up costing him the life of a child. His boys were a mess. One of his sons got into all sorts of trouble. Another one of his sons turned against him and literally led a revolt trying to take the life of his own father. And then David, in a painful moment, made a decision that negatively impacted thousands of people. I hope this is encouraging to you, because even with all of his shortcomings, and there are many, David was still known as a man after God's own heart. Today we're launching into a new message series called Think Ahead. Decisions you can make today for the God-honoring life that you want tomorrow. In this message series, we're going to talk about decision making because, let's be honest, all of us want to make really good, wise, healthy, helpful, and God-honoring decisions. But we often don't live up to our good intentions, right? To make sure I'm not, you know, up here by myself, some of you, maybe none of you, but people that go to another church maybe eat more than they should. Some people, maybe none of you, definitely none of you, have, you know, you spend more than you make. Some people say things they shouldn't say, and a lot of us, we do things we shouldn't do. So instead of waiting to make decisions later on when we may not be at our best, when we might be tired or we might be emotional, as often as possible, what we're going to do is we're going to think ahead. We're going to pre-decide. We're going to look at different people in the Bible and see how they actually thought ahead. And we're going to study the pre-decisions that they made. And I'll show you where we're going over the next few weeks. Today, we're going to look at King David. And we're going to see that he pre-decided to prioritize intimacy with God. Next week, we're going to look at Hannah, who made a decision to trust God, pre-decided, no matter what happens, she would trust God. Then we're going to look at Nicodemus, who decided that he's always, no matter what, going to seek truth. And then we're going to look at Abraham, who pre-decided, no matter what God asked me to do, I'll obey. And we're going to look at Joseph, who decided ahead of time that even when it didn't make sense, he would pre-decide to believe God's calling for his life. Today, though, we start with David, who, before anything else, and amidst all his shortcomings and mistakes, he pre-decided to prioritize intimacy with God. Now, why would he do that? Why would he decide that being close to God is a worthy pursuit? And the answer is, he pre-decided to do that because you never end up close to God accidentally. I've never met anybody who said, I was just binge-watching Netflix, scrolling on the gram, and all of a sudden I was full of the Word of God and started quoting the Word powerfully. No one ever said that. No one ever said, I was just sitting there smoking a ciggy and drinking my drink. Suddenly, I was witnessing to people and leading them to Jesus. Nobody ever said, I was cussing out traffic and all of a sudden, I had the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said that. Nobody did that because there is no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. You know this. In your marriage, you don't get close if you don't work on getting close. You'll never be really close with your children accidentally. And the same is true with God. You will never be close to God accidentally. It takes intentionality to experience intimacy with God. So, we're going to watch as David teaches us how to think ahead, how to pre-decide to pursue intimacy with God. And we'll see it when he answers the question, if we ask David, if God could do one thing for you, what would you ask God to do? This is how David would respond. Psalm 27. David would say, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. But before I tell you what he said, let me tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say this, one thing I seek from the Lord, that I may be the happiest person that ever lived. He didn't say this, one thing I seek from the Lord, that I may have more money than anybody else alive. He didn't say this, one thing I want from God, and that is a bigger palace with better countertops. He didn't say that, but he could have. He didn't ask for world dominance. He didn't even ask for TikTok fame. David said this, the one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This one thing I ask above anything else, that I may be in the presence of God, that I may experience the glory of God, that I may dwell and see his beauty in the temple. If God would give me one thing, it would be that I would be close to him, intimate with him, hearing his voice, and having him direct my steps. If you want to be close to God, you will never be close to God accidentally. I would suggest that if it's a value to you, you pre-decide to prioritize intimacy with God. This is something I do, and I want to tell you why I do it, because the reasons that I do it will be the very reasons that you will want to do it as well. Why do I prioritize intimacy with God? Number one, I'll just tell you right now, point blank, is I am desperate for God's presence. I'm desperate. I'm desperate right now, today, in this moment now. I need his comfort. I need his strength. I need his power. I need his wisdom. I need his word directing my steps. David was like this. One thing I ask, I want the presence of God. Because if you look through his life over and over and over again, even when he had the blessings of running the kingdom, he was desperate for the presence of God. I'll give you just one example of what would be dozens. In Psalm 63, commentators tell us that he was likely in the wilderness running from his son. Imagine if your son wanted to kill you and is leading an army to come after you. And he's most likely hiding from his son when he wrote these words, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because, God, your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Now that's intimate and that's desperate. I thirst for you. I long for you. The Bible talks about the reality that we can actually be friends with God, which is an amazing thought, that the Holy God would allow us to call Him a friend. But let's be honest. What David wrote there, that's like beyond friendship language, right? I mean, I've got some pretty good friends. I mean, some guys I've been friends with for a long time. And I've never one time ever said, dude, earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you because I've seen your power. Because I've seen your power. Your love is better than life. I've never said that. That's like way beyond friendship. That's deep. That's personal. That's desperate. I need you, God, today. My very being longs for you. Some of you are going to say, I don't have that. I don't have that. You might say, I believe in God and everything, kinda, but I don't have that. And I would say to most of you, of course you don't have that. Why? Because every demon in hell will lie to you and tempt you to distract you from chasing after God and instead of pursuing anything and everything else but God. And that's where people are today. Maybe this will make me happy. And maybe that'll make me happy. Maybe this and maybe that. Maybe anything but God. And that's why I want to tell you, just like me and just like David, whether you know it or not, you are desperate for God. I don't know what your story is, but you go long enough and you're going to do something dumb. We do dumb stuff. We do sinful stuff. Some of you, you need the forgiveness of God now. Some of you, you've been trying to change something and you can't change it on your own. You need the power of God to change in you what you can't change. Some of you, even right now, you're thinking there is some external something that will feel that longing on the inside. Maybe a little more money, maybe a little more stuff, maybe a little more luxury, maybe a little more time off, maybe a little better person than the person I'm with right now. Whatever it is, nothing can or ever will fill that void because it's a God-shaped void that only He can fill. That's why we pre-decide. I choose ahead of time to intentionally, passionately, faithfully, and consistently pursue intimacy with God. Because like David, I'm desperate for God's presence. Number two, I am desperate for God's Word. Desperate for His Word. Why do I need His Word? How do you get to know God? It's by reading His Word. His Word is His love letter to you that reveals who He is and what His purpose and will is for you and for us as a body of Christ. We don't read His Word because we have to. We read it because we want to. I read it because I'm desperate for it. In fact, if you watch the way David described the Word of God, or what he called the law, the Scripture, this is how David described it in Psalm 19. He used several adjectives to describe the Word of God. This is what he said. He said, "The instructions of the Lord," and this is the Word of God, "they are perfect and they revive the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord, they are clear, giving insight for living. They are more desirable than gold." The most valuable imagery that he could give at this time, "they are sweeter than honey." David says, this is the Word of God. What does the Word of God do for you? God's Word will do whatever you need it to do. God's Word will give you whatever you need to receive. When you're sad, God's Word encourages you and builds your faith. If you're confused, God's Word is a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path. God's Word will guide your steps. Whenever you're lonely, God's Word will comfort you. Whenever you're hurting, God's Word will give you hope. Whenever you're weak, God's Word will build your faith and give you strength. I don't know when it'll appear, but 2 a.m. in the morning, if you can't sleep because you're anxious about something, you can quote the Word of God that you're desperate for and tell yourself, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, I make my requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and mind and my soul in Christ Jesus." When you're wearing down and don't feel like you can go on, you'll quote the Word of God. "Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time I will reap a harvest from my God if I do not give up." Whenever you're afraid of what's coming at you, you just preach the Word to yourself. "My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." When you feel stuck, you tell yourself, "I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in me will bring it about into completion." When you're hurting because your daughter's still sick, you run to God who promises that He is your refuge and your strength, your ever-present help in a time of trouble. And no matter what happens, you tell yourself the Word of God. "The Lord my God is with me, therefore I will not be shaken." Whether you know it or not, you are desperate for God's Word. Sweeter than honey, it's better than gold. You're desperate for it. I am. I'll tell you right now. Just as plainly as I can, I am desperate for God's presence. I need His strength, His wisdom, His comfort, the power of His Spirit. I'm desperate for His Word I need it to convict me, to correct me, to strengthen me, to encourage me, to give me wisdom and to guide my steps. And the third thing I'm desperate for, I pre-decide, I think ahead to prioritize intimacy with God because I'm actually desperate for God's church. Desperate for God's church. And I want you to see just how desperate David was as well. This is what he said in Psalm 122. He said this, David said, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice with those who said, hey, let's all go to church together. Now notice what David didn't say. He didn't say, I rejoice with those who said, let's sleep in today and maybe we'll go to church next week. Didn't say that, right? He didn't say, I rejoice with those who say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need the church. He said, I rejoice with those who said, let's go together, corporately, as the body, to worship the goodness of God in His temple. Why do we do that? Because God is good, because He is worthy of our praise, and selfishly, because we all got stuff. I mean, I do. I've got a hurt, and I actually don't just need God, I need God through you, honestly. Sometimes I like the presence of God with skin on. When someone else prays with me and for me, I need the body of Christ like I need you. And whether you know it or not, you need me. We're desperate for each. We are desperate for the church. And I got to thinking, it's pretty special. Virtually every blessing in my life, in my marriage, virtually every blessing I can trace back to God's faithfulness through the church. David said this about those who are planted in the church. He said, the righteous are planted, rooted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. The blessings, the best blessings of God, I believe with all my heart, are found with His people in the church. And a lot of you are going to say, that's not my story. I don't have that. Well, let's just start there and say, you know what? You can start today. You can pre-decide. You can think ahead and pre-decide today to pursue intimacy with God. Because whether you know it or not, now hear me when I tell you, you are desperate for His presence. And you are desperate for His Word. And you are desperate for His presence through His people in His body that He calls the church. And so I just encourage you to think ahead and recognize not only do you need Him today, but you're really going to need the presence of God in the future. And so what do? You pre-decide to seek Him today because you're never going to have intimacy without intentionality. If I could ask you that one thing that God could do for you, if you realize just how desperate for Him you really are, your biggest answer, your immediate answer would be, God, I just need You. I need You. I need Your presence with me. I need Your work in your word correcting me and strengthening me, and I need you, your love, through your people in the church. Because whether you know it or not, every single moment you are desperate for Him. And so, don't know about you, but I'm going to decide today, I'm not waiting for an emergency in the future. I want to be very, very close to Him today. Because whether you know it or not, listen to me, you are desperate for God. Let us pray. So, Father, we come to You. And God, we thank You for Your love, Your grace. We thank You for You, that You are everything that we need, God. We just ask that in this moment we would make some decisions, maybe just one decision, that will help us become more intimate with You. And God, we thank You that it says when we draw near to You, Your word promises, whenever we draw near to You, that You draw near to us. And so, God, in whatever way we pre-decide to draw near to You, we thank You, God, that You will meet us exactly where we are. And God, we praise You that You have exactly what we need. We choose to seek You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.